Well, if you take your Bibles with you this morning, open up again. We're back in the book of Ruth. And if you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible, talk to myself or one of us from the church. We will get one for you, your very own. And just think it's good to follow along with us as we go through Scripture. You know, the last week I had a couple tell me the same joke about Boaz, and the joke's like this: is what was the man of Boaz like before he met Ruth? Ruthless, yeah. So, and I probably told it wrong, but that's kind of the gist of it. How many of us likes, you know, we think of things, good things come in small packages, and at least that's the way it normally goes. And I was thinking this morning, well, what good things come in small packages? And I was thinking of this here. It's a Leatherman, and many of us guys and a few gals probably have a Leatherman. We've got one in each one of our automobiles. And what's neat about a Leatherman, it's got all kinds of things. It's a pair of pliers, there's a knife, there's one of my other one has a pair of scissors on it. It's got screwdrivers, and in fact, there's things on here I'm really not sure what they do, you know. But it's got all these neat features to it. Well, I was thinking of the book of Ruth. It's a small book in the Bible, and the thing is it's packed with so many different things that's applicable that we can use. And here we've been looking at in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is we have the book of Ruth. Again, we have these types there, and Boaz, he's a type of Christ. And I would also, we find in the book of Ruth of really, and I'll just say it, it's what a real man's supposed to look like. And in Ruth, what a real woman's supposed to look like. The relationships between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law that takes place. We even see things that happen in society that's about the Levirate law of gleaning and things like that that we look in our society that if we would apply some of these today, things might be a little bit better. So it's a small book that contains so many different things and so many facets, and I don't want to miss it even though it's such a small book and we can just blow through it. So if you've got your Bibles, open with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and we're going to take off where we left off, which is verse 17. And I'll just read from 17 to 21, kind of give us the context this morning. So she, Ruth, gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man whom I worked today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man who is our relative, he is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" So here we have Ruth, and it kind of, just real quick, is that she's went into a field and to glean barley, and while she's there, she meets the owner of the field, Boaz, and we realize from the before that Boaz is caught, or Ruth has caught Boaz's eye, and so she's invited to sit and eat lunch with him, and we find earlier in chapter 2 there that he actually personally feeds her, and when she went home that evening, that I'm sure she's tired from that long day of work, and she's sore from all the work that she'd done, and she has a story to tell. There's a tale to tell when she gets home. I imagine Naomi, her mother-in-law, is there waiting for her to get home, and when she returns, she's probably anticipating what Ruth Ruth's day was like and how much grain that she would have gotten from her day of gleaning. And I would imagine that Naomi thought, well, she's probably at least got enough for at least a meal. But when Ruth shows up here, she's loaded down with really enough grain to last both her and Naomi for a week. And not only does she have that grain, she also has some good news to share. You know, as she comes home, she goes, boy, have I got a story to tell you. And it's this kind of news that really that we all need, isn't it, to hear this. And hopefully it's news that's going to help each one of us to grow in our own knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That in verse 17, she gleaned in a field until evening, then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So when Ruth is coming home, she's carrying, it's estimated she's carrying about 25 pounds of barley. And you know, that's more than enough for to feed these two gals for a week. And she went out there just to look for just enough food for a meal for a day, and she ends up enough for a week. Well, Boaz, he wants her to get enough, and not only does he want her to get enough, he wants her to get enough so much so that she wouldn't think of gleaning in anybody else's field but his. And if you remember from it's the week before last study in this, that he's told his harvesters here that, you know, don't give her a hard time if you find Ruth and she's getting the grain out of the bundles or the sheaves that are there. As a matter of fact, I want you to leave some on purpose for her. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we got that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That our Heavenly Father wants to bless His people. And whose people are that? Well, it's those who love Him, those that are called according to His purpose. He wants to give you so much that you'll never think of going anywhere else for that kind of food, for that to glean in that. In verse 21, that very last verse that I read there this morning, is it shows us here that His blessings, God's blessings, are going to continue until, and here Boaz's blessings to Ruth are going to continue till the end of the harvest. Well, the Lord, He doesn't intend to stop blessing us until we leave this world. Well, then guess what? Well, then the real blessings are going to take place for each one of us. In Ephesians 2:7, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And that word kindness, we see the same word used in verse 20 there. It's the same word to say that it's a kindness, it's a loyal love that God shows upon His people. And for each one of us to know that God shows us a loyal love. And the provisions here that are given to Ruth and us, they're designed here to satisfy. They're also designed to show. Verse 18. She took it up, and when she went into the, speaking of Ruth here, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. So here she's got this bag of grain that she has, and you can see Ruth here, she's walking into this town, probably got it toting over her shoulder, there's so much of it. I remember years ago, this is B.C. before children, we were still living in Ohio, and a co-worker and myself, we wanted to go fishing on the Ohio River. So we drove, you know, a few hours down on the Ohio River, down there, it's right there on the almost the Ohio West Virginia side where we're at. Now, in most of Ohio, everyone talks like I talk to you right now. But you get down on the Ohio River on the southern part of Ohio, and they all talk like this down there. You know, that's how it is. And so we're fishing on the Ohio River because we heard about all these giant catfish down there on the Ohio River. Well, we fished all day, and we didn't catch one fish. And we thought, well, this is ridiculous. So as we're about ready to wrap it up for the day, and a couple of the locals come walking down a trail next to the Ohio River, and they got a stringer of catfish that would go from here to the floor. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to ask these guys, because we could not go back empty-handed to show the other guys that we didn't catch any fish. And I thought, I'll ask these guys if they'll let me hold those fish, and you get a picture of those fish. And so I grabbed the hold of that. I asked these guys, can I get a picture of their fish? Well, these guys thought we were crazy, because I'm talking like this, and they're talking like this, and they just didn't care much for us. I thought we were going to get into a fist fight. But through a little bit of negotiation, they let me hold the fish, and we got a picture of these catfish so we could take back to the other guys and let them know that we didn't get skunked, sort of. But we were foreigners down on the Ohio River, okay? The locals knew how to catch the fish. We didn't. We had no idea how to do it. So here's Ruth. Everybody who sees Ruth, they know who she is. Here's this Moabite woman. She's a foreigner. They know that she has nothing, probably. By now, the word's kind of gone out that she's been gleaning in Boaz's field. And I imagine it's a small town. Word gets out pretty quick in a small town. What's going on? It travels fast. And they can see here that she's received some kind of blessing here, just by watching her going past, packing a big load of grain. Maybe Boaz, he's trying to make some kind of statement to the community that's there. Maybe this big sack of grain that Ruth is carrying is just saying that, you know what, I got my eye on Ruth. You know, I'm going to bless Ruth. You know, God's blessings in your life are designed to show a lost world just how good God is. He blesses His people to create a desire for Him in the hearts of those who do not know Him. I know personally my own coming to Christ myself was I was around other believers as an unbeliever, and I wanted whatever they had. You know, it was that. God wants to use us as living testimonies, witnesses to His grace, to His power, and to His glory. You know, a witness is someone who gives a testimony of what they have seen. You can't argue with that. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know, as we live out the real blessings of God, the world is really going to be affected by God's work in us. You know, may that when we live each day out, that we are living it in such a way that they see Christ in us. Or should they should in that. And when you think about it, is what are the real blessings of God? Well, how does it show? Well, I think of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "For the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." You know, such things, there is no law. You know, and when you think of fruit, I really like fruit. You know, my grandparents on my mom's side were from southern Missouri, and my grandfather would grow these peaches that were the size of grapefruits. I mean, they were these huge peaches, and as a boy, I could just remember just going, and I would just be a mess from eating these peaches. They were just so good. And the thing is, they were the kind that put a smile on your face. And for us as believers, when we have this fruit of the Spirit, I say, if you want to know what a Christian looks like, well, they ought to be displaying that. You know, that would be a tell for us. You know, a child of God is one who displays these graces in his or her life as a child of God who walks, and I would say they walk in victory. So many times we see that word victory in Scripture. It's a, you are a victor. And the provisions that Ruth was given here and what we're given, they're also designed to share. Let's look on here in Ruth, verse 18. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Not only does Ruth share in that abundance of her provisions, she also shares what's the remaining portion of by Boaz that was given to her from Boaz back in verse 14. It's that leftovers from lunch. It's that other half of that Subway sandwich. You know, Ruth here, she's not being selfish. She wants to share what's left and what's been given to her, and she's sharing it with her mother-in-law, Naomi. We're not to hoard up the blessings of the Lord, but we're to share them with others. What we have, whatever that we've been blessed with by God has been given us to use, and they're given us to use for His glory. You know, whether it be a talent, a skill, God's truth, a gift, a financial resources, whatever it is. His blessings are given to us so that we might share them with other people. And it's not because we have to. That's socialism. It's because we want to. You know, we need to note here that Ruth got what she did, and she got it because she was willing to work for it. You know, she gleaned and she got it. You know, the same really is true when it comes to spiritual matters. You know, and you've heard it said that, you know, we get out of something about as much as we put into it. Whether it's in prayer or it's in worship or it's in Bible study or just having victory in your daily life. It isn't for the lazy. You know, God's best is reserved for those who are willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him daily. You know, in verse 19 here, her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man whom I worked work today is Boaz." I think I need a new pair of glasses. You know, when Naomi sees all that Ruth has returned with, we find here she's overwhelmed with it. She begins to, and it's interesting here, she begins to magnify the person who has given so much. You know, "May he who took notice of you be blessed." You know, Naomi knows that, you know, you don't get this much grain normally when you go and glean, you know. She knows that someone has blessed them. She blesses the person who has taken notice of them. Naomi realizes that the person that gave him this grain has noticed Ruth and wanted to be a special blessing to her. And so Naomi doesn't know it yet. Ruth doesn't know it yet, but Ruth has been noticed by one who's interested in knowing her better. You remember back in verse 5 there, chapter 2, and Boaz actually sees her for the first time. "Whose woman is this?" I think he can put an exclamation point and like, wow, after it. He's interested in her situation. The Lord is interested in you. You know, wherever you may be in your spiritual journey, Jesus is interested in knowing you better. I know we need to be learning and to know Jesus Christ is better. You know, we have these little statements. You know, we'll say, well, did you, you know, have you found Jesus? Well, it's kind of humorous because Jesus isn't the one that's lost. We are. You know, and if you're lost, he's interested in knowing you in salvation. You know, if you've become cold in your relationship with him, if you've backslidden in your relationship with him, he's interested in knowing you intimately. If you're defeated, he's interested in leading you into a place, and really in a place of power, in a place of being victorious. Are you interested in what he has to offer you? You know, not only is Boaz interested in Ruth's situation, he's involved. He's opened his hands to her. He's opened his heart to her. He's taking the steps to improve her condition. You know, it's one of these parts in this particular story that I just pause and I think, you know, this is where a real man is. If I were to ask just the women in the room, one of the criteria for what you would want in a man, it would be, I want him to be a protector and a provider. Okay, it's probably on their top three list. You know, one, that he's a godly man, and I'll say two, is that he loves and cherishes them. You're the only, speaking of the women, you're the only one in his playbook, and what we're finding here. And the next one would be that he is a protector and a provider. I don't care what the feminists say today or what the world's telling you today. You know, he is busy, Boaz here. He's busy working behind the scenes here to do what Ruth needs. He's involved in her life. Our Heavenly Father is also involved in your life. He's actively working, and he's working on your behalf to fulfill his plan for your life. In Psalm 121, I'm just read the whole thing here. It's not a big one. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. A lot of the Lord will. In verse 20, back in Ruth. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. And again Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Boaz doesn't realize it here, really the extent that he is actually being used in the lives of these two women. You know, he has become an instrument in the hand of the Lord. You know, many times, and I would say in our 21st century Christendom, when we use the term revival, I think it gets kind of misused a little bit. It's in a negative connotation, that revival becomes some highly emotional evangelistic event. But here, when I think revival here, it's a restoration of life. It's a restoration of use. It's a restoration of activity. It's a restoration of vigor. And here, Boaz is being used as an instrument of revival for Naomi. You know, she's returned to Israel, and she's returned really to Bethlehem area, and she's returned as a defeated woman. And you remember earlier she wanted to be called, call me bitter. You know, Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burned wick he will not extinguish. You know, God has used this man, Boaz, to encourage the heart of one of his children. And so Naomi, she's restored to a place of worship and victory, or being victorious. A revival has taken place for her. Now, you might be in a position where you've allowed your heart to grow cold of the things of God, to maybe grow hard towards the things of God. But if you're His, then He knows where you are. And just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. He will restore you. He'll make things right. And the first step in getting back in the place of His blessings is to come before Him and really to deal with whatever it is that's lacking in your life. You know, the 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and when we say confess, it really means that, you know what, I am agreeing with you, God, about my situation and where I'm at. I'm seeing my sin just like you see it, God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, He's the one that forgives. I can't. You know, He saves. I can't. Boaz has also become an instrument here of redemption. Again, as we look at Ruth, we need to realize we're seeing types that take place of who Jesus Christ is. And Boaz is a type for us of Christ. And as Naomi listens to Ruth tell about her day, well, you can just kind of imagine the wheels are turning in her head. You know, she hears this name Boaz, and it's like, well, wait a minute. He's a close relative. And she continues to process this information and realizes that He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. You know, she begins to recognize here the Lord's providence and what the Lord is doing. He has brought Ruth in contact with the one who has the right of redemption here, that according to the law, that Levirate law of redemption. And we can see her regaining her spiritual confidence. I can just imagine how this conversation is going. That, and to have that, all the criteria for the Levirate law of redemption, there had to be three things. That he had to be a relative. He had to be related. Well, Boaz fits that. He had to be able to perform that, the rite of redemption. Boaz, we know he's a mighty man here. He's a man of wealth. He had to be willing to redeem. And so far, Boaz, he's been able to meet all this criteria. It appears that he's doing everything he can here to know Ruth. You know, so he's related. He's able. He's willing. You know, these women needed a redeemer, because if they didn't find one, their lives would be spent in poverty. And poverty then was not a place that you wanted to be, especially for these women. If you're not saved, you need a redeemer. Because without one, you're left in spiritual poverty, and that's not a place you want to be. And you have one. You have a redeemer if you will accept Him. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Savior, our Redeemer. He died for you to buy you back. And Boaz, he's also used as an instrument here as refreshment. You know, Ruth tells Naomi here that she was asked to return to his field until the harvest ended, there in verse 21. You know, they're really going to enjoy plenty because of this man named Boaz. You know, remember his name is strength. I imagine that Boaz, that every day he would remind his workers, you know what, I want you men and women here of my laborers to, I want you to leave some grain, handfuls of grain, on purpose for Ruth. You know, and I imagine each day that he came out there that he would sit and eat with Ruth, give her some of the roasted grain, give her something to drink. And when she went home at the end of the day, that she would leave with all the grain that he could, that she could carry. He just packed it on her, you know. Boaz was going to be a blessing to Naomi and Ruth. If you're here and living on spiritual scraps this morning, Jesus wants to fill your basket. You know, he has the power and the glory and the victory and the blessing for every one of his children. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Ruth to get what Boaz wanted her to have, she had to go into that field each day and work for it. It isn't for the lazy. If you want the best, then spend time each day, and I would say spend time each day in prayer. Prayer is just, you're communing, you're talking with your Heavenly Father, spending time with the Lord in dialogue. Get into His Word, His instructions for life, life eternal. Don't just be readers of His Word, but be doers of His Word. And you know, your walk with the Lord is going to be no stronger, it's going to be no deeper or no greater than what you're willing to put into that. Father, we give you praise this morning, and I thank you for your word. Again, I give you the praise and thank you for this story of Ruth and how there's so many applicable things for us today that we can glean from it. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as that Redeemer, the one who paid for our sin on the cross, that bought us back, Father, I pray this morning, right now, that they surrender to you, that they admit their sin to you and confess it. Agree with you about their sinful situation, Lord. And Father, that they come to you with a saving faith. So, Father, we give you that praise this morning. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.